see Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could rip my TV out of the wall, smash it on the floor, and say, no more entertainment for you, bitch. My guest today is one of my favorite queens. Oh, she just won RuPaul's Drag Race season 14? Ooh, baby! Ooh, it's Willow Pill!
Hello, everybody. It's me. I'm Willow Pill, and I'm here to talk to you.
Hi, Willow. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Can I just say, why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Why won't you tell me?
Please tell me why. Fun fact, we did that twice. Marissa said, do you want to do that a third time? And I said, no, I think we got it. We got it.
No. The number of times I've listened to that, I told you this on the show, but I worked at a sushi restaurant for like 3 years before I was on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And every time I was mopping in the mornings at like 10 a.m. to open up the shop, it would just be that in my head. Why won't you date me? Why? And then you'd be like talking to Alaska or some
it's
Willem
so
or something.
Funny that you listen to that at 10 a.m. Just talking about dicks and yum-yums.
Cucks and balls. Dicks and cocks.
I do love a dick. Do you love a dick?
You know what? They're pretty dang ugly. I don't know if I like them that much.
They are very ugly. If you like really get down to it and look at them, they're very hideous.
They kind of remind me of like a sea cucumber, like a sandworm. There's something so phallic about a dick. But I mean, that
no, okay, something... I know what you mean. I know what
you
mean. Yeah,
that sounds, it sounds redundant to say that a dick is phallic. But it's they really are, they're like, oh, that's sexual.
Yes.
When you look at a dick.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you see like a mushroom with like a girthy stem and you're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And you can get the heebie-jeebies a little bit.
A little. Yeah, well, okay. We don't have to keep talking about dicks. Let's talk about you for a little bit. So, okay. Has your life changed? You just won Drag Race. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching you. I thought you were so fun. Has the dating life or just life in general changed any?
You know, it's all kind of smushed together since the show started. And I really haven't had that much time to even realize that I won.
Okay.
You know, after I was at the viewing party, you know, finding out that I had won, it was like I woke up the next day and they're like, all right, get on your next plane. And so I didn't really even have time to soak in the fact that I had just achieved my biggest life's dream. So it's kind of been in increments over the last few months that I'm realizing what just happened. And I'm finally in a place where I'm like, oh my God, I'm like so fucking proud of myself. Willow, and I'm so happy.
Let me tell you, I fucking love that you said that you're proud, because I feel like a lot of time people, myself included, achieve things and then you go, oh, it's whatever. But it's like, no, be fucking proud. Like, be excited for yourself.
No, I had to have that moment because I wasn't that excited for a while. I was like, oh, great. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And I, even, you know, when you're like in the moment, you're shocked. You're like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I was just like, oh, my God, this, what is happening? And then it was like a few months later, I think I like did some mushrooms as I am known to do. And I just had this moment where I was like, oh, my God, like, to make it through that show as a chronically ill and disabled person is a feat in its own. And then to win it, I'm just like so beyond proud of myself.
Yeah.
And, but it took a while for that to really kick in.
I'm so happy you got there. I feel like, yeah, it takes me a lot of time to be like, no, that is kind of a big deal. And that's delightful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about mushrooms real quick. I fucking love mushrooms.
Oh, it's my favorite thing in the world. My favorite topic.
I love them. I don't know why they're illegal. One. Two. No. I've had like such nice magical experiences on them. I don't sing karaoke, but you give me some mushrooms and oh baby, will she have a nice time? I love
them. Before Drag Race, you know, I'm hoping they can include, I'm sure they can include this, but I was a mushroom seller. So I would grow and sell mushrooms. That was my little pandemic hobby / side job.
I love that. How do you grow mushrooms? This is, okay, so I was a farmer for a while. During the pandemic, tomatoes. Strawberries, cucumbers, one at a time, please.
And my harvest would be. Yeah, you sold them by the gram.
I truly sold them by the whisper. I grew nothing. How do you grow mushrooms?
It took a while to learn. It's a very long process. It's a long game. So I grew them in like tubs in our hallway. And you get these like cakes that have like manure and grain and seed in them.
Oh.
And you know, basically like incubate the cake with spores and then wait for it to colonize and then eventually grow into mycelium and then into mushrooms. And then you harvest them and dry them.
What?
So from a start to finish, it's like 6 to 10 weeks.
That's so long. Also, you said so many words that I don't know.
That's
but like
okay,
after
don't
manure
worry.
Cakes, I was like, oh, what?
Chlorophyll and phytoplasm.
And then the mitochondrium and then photosynthesis. I learned about plants, but I don't remember anything about them.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Here's a question. Do you like, what did I take the last... A couple weekends ago, I did Molly at like 2 p.m. at a pool party. And I was like, I'm going to stay for an hour. And then 4 hours later, I was like melted into a couch being like, everyone come to me and tell me a story. I feel nice.
Oh, yeah. I tried Molly for the first time like 2 months ago, 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, my God. How did it go?
It was great. I mean,
yes!
the week after was not great. But that night, I remember I went to see one of my favorite bands, what the fuck is their name? I love them so fucking much and I can't even remember their name.
A band. My Chemical Romance.
Magdalena Bay.
I would never have gotten there. I would never.
Fergie. It was Fergie.
It was Fergie.
No, it was Magdalena Bay. And I look back on pictures and my pupils are as big as the devil's fucking dick. And, so zooped out of my mind. I made out with like 5 people at the club afterwards. Everyone. I was just like, let's make out. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, wait, are you Willow Pill? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And they're like, let's make out. So just making out with everyone left and right. I was making friends. I gave, like, normally I'm kind of reserved from my fans. And that night, I was just giving everyone my telephone number. Just like, call me if you need anything.
Willow, has anyone taken you up on it?
Yes, well, I invited them all to a house party that I had that weekend. And they all ended up being good people. Like, you know, they were, it was the right mix that night. Something was in the stars. God, Mother God was watching after me.
And that's lovely, because that could have ended up a fully different way.
It could have been horrible. My address could have been doxxed and all the fans known. And
yes.
But no, it was great, and they were lovely people, and I still chat with them every once in a while.
I love that. Maybe you have to be in, like, the zone to be all kissy. The day I took Molly, I was like, I just want to sit and feel nice and have people talk at me. I was like, I don't want to engage.
I wanted to run around and fuck.
I guess I wasn't horny that day, which seems out of character.
See, that's the maybe that's it, is because normally I'm not a very horny person.
Oh.
And so maybe it just switches you to the opposite of whatever your default is.
Interesting. Maybe that's what it actually does.
Something. We should submit
this. I took
it
in Australia and I wasn't horny. I just danced very hard.
I love dancing.
I love dancing too. I'm a terrible dancer. I have zero rhythm. It's honestly devastating. It's very bad. Yes.
I'm okay. I'm a good dancer in the same way that, like, Kristen Wiig is a good dancer. Where it's like, it's like, good. You're like, wow, that's really good. There's something off about it. There's something off, and there's something very white about it. But it's
something very white.
Yeah, but it's very, but it's still on beat. You know, she catches the rhythm very nicely, and I can do that. But it just looks a little awkward.
Every now and again, I'll catch some rhythm, and I'll be like, oh my God, is this what it's like for people all the time? And then immediately fall out of rhythm, and I'm like, okay, she's back to normal.
Yeah.
Okay, Willow, I have a question.
Yes.
Where does your name come from, and did you enjoy how RuPaul said it? Because some people on Twitter did not. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, okay, so the name comes from, I always do the short version, but
I would like the long.
Here's the long version.
Yes.
So the long version is that my name, I don't go by this anymore, but out of drag, my name was William. Mm-hmm. And now I just go by Willow all the time. Or Billy. Billy.
Ooh, I like Billy.
I don't go by Billy. I'm just saying that now. Maybe that'll catch on after this podcast. I like Billy because it's kind of like a gender neutral.
I don't go by Billy. I'm saying it now on this podcast in hopes that it catches on. I like Billy. B-I-L-L-I-E. I think that's really cute.
Or Billy Pill?
Billy Pill.
Oh, that sounds like a country singer.
It does. It's really fucking cute.
Yeah, maybe I'll change it.
B-I-L-L-I. Maybe no E at the end. Billy?
Billy Pill. Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I love it.
But... So Willow, I watched from behind the kind of rails of the staircase. I would watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer when my sisters would watch, and I obviously wasn't allowed to watch because that show is, you know, a lot of teens fucking. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, "No, no,
you mustn't Willow, watch the teens fuck."
Yes, but Willow, played by is it Allison Hannigan?
Yes.
Yes. She was on it, and she's, you know, this lesbian witch, and she had red hair, and I just thought she was so fucking cool. And I related to her because, A, she was queer, and B, her name was Willow. I was like, oh, that's basically my name.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, a lot of my friends would call me Willow Smith. They'd be like, Willow, Willow Smith, and I'd be like, LOL. And then eventually, it just felt like the right name.
LOL.
LOL. And then Pill happened just because I take an obscene amount of pills ever since I was a little infant. So pills are part of my everyday repertoire.
I love it.
And it just rolls off the tongue. Willow Pill.
Yeah, it just works. Will Pill. It truly made me laugh every time Rue said it.
Okay, so when we were filming, I thought it was pretty funny. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting the, what is it called when she gives you a name?
Favoritism.
There's a, Well, that, first of all, yes. When she gives you a name, you kind of do get the favoritism. I forget what it's called when she gives you one of those names. A yodel. I think that's what it's
called.
Again,
I would never have gotten there. It's called a yodel?
I might just be pulling that out of my ass, but we're going to say that that's true.
I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, so I was just happy that I was the queen to get it. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Yes, I am the Ivy Winters of the season. It gives you more attention, gives you more airtime, mm-hmm. Makes you more memorable to her because, you know, she's a forgetful old lady. So she never forgot my name. So I loved it. And then when it came out and the fans were reacting to it, you know, they were kind of split, but there was a lot of people that hated it. And they were like, RuPaul's infantilizing Willow, and she already talks about how she hates that. And I was like, I genuinely think she mistakenly thought that my name was a pun. Bless
well,
her heart.
It is a pun. It like, if you say it that way, it is a pun.
Yeah, if you make it a pun, it's a pun. But
yeah,
it was not intended to be a pun.
Which is just so funny. It's a little bit of the Joey Gay poison ivy bagism, where it's like, do you remember? It was it's an IV bag. And it's like, yeah, but you're covered in poison ivy. So it's a poison ivy bag. So it's like, Willow pill. Like, if you just like say it like that. I don't know. I thought it was so funny. I thought it was a real treat.
I enjoyed it. And on set, she would go on for a long time. Like, on the screen, it was just like, Willow pill. But on set, she would be like, Willow. She didn't want a big pill. She wanted a Willow pill. She went, a little pill. Like, she would do that for like a half hour. And the other girls would just be like, notice me, please.
That's so funny. And yeah, people ask me about Drag Race all the time, and I'm like, oh, what people don't know is Rue is funnier than what they air.
Oh, Rue is full on a fucking hoot.
She's so funny.
She was the most entertaining part of my day every day. Every morning, I was just like, I wonder what Rue's going to say today. Mm-hmm. And they have to cut out 90% of it because, unfortunately, most of it is, you know, not for the television.
So filthy.
It's filthy. It's cancelable. But it's, like, so fucking good. She does her own one-woman show every morning.
She really does.
It's incredible.
I'm, like, a big, big fan of being your own biggest fan. And, like, I do stand-up and people will be like, you really just laugh at yourself. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm not going to get out of bed, get on a plane, land in Idaho, get on a stage and not have fun. Like, what's wrong with you?
Right. I feel the same way. There's no room for being sour if this is what you're going to choose for a career.
Yeah, I fully fucking agree.
And Rue will laugh at her own jokes. And I mean, obviously, the whole show, everything is a Rue reference. She's just sitting there, just jerking off under the table.
And that's really what's under the table, not sweatpants.
Yeah, not sweatpants. It's a giant cock. Fully erect.
I have a question. Okay, so comedians have chuckle fuckers. I think Ben de la Creme is the one who coined this for me, a clown chaser. Do you have clown chasers when you travel?
Not really. You know, well, okay. Oh. So I have many inquiries, inquirings about fucking and the sort. But I don't really engage in it that much.
Okay.
It's not because I'm not interested. It's just because I'm too tired. Like, by the time you get back from the club and it's, you know, 2 a.m. and your flight is at 8 in the morning, the last thing I want to do is, you know, put on some brows and douche and go meet some guy that's in my comments. Like, I love you, Willow Pill, and his name is, you know, 6 Day Load. So, after the gig and you're feeling kind of gross and tired, it's just not really what I'm in the mood for.
I get it a little bit.
Well, the thing is that a lot of the other girls will do that. So, you know, not to name names, but Lady Camden, she tells me about all of her fun escapades in different cities where she will take the 4 hours of sleep that she has and, you know, go out and find a hot guy and mm-hmm. and have sex. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great, but I just don't. I just can't do it with the amount of energy I have.
The older I get, the more I'm like, I'm tired. I can't mm-hmm. do that. So if I'm doing like 3 days somewhere, I'll take one of the days to be like, let's just try it out. See what I could reel in. And a lot of times it don't work. I just went to Mexico. I wasn't doing comedy or anything. I was on a vacation and I couldn't find any dick in Mexico. It was so upsetting. But I was in Puerto Vallarta, which is pretty gay. So I think I was just in the wrong spot.
Yeah, I don't know if PV is really
the place the spot for me to find dick.
Straight cock.
I was like, nobody at this drag show wants to fuck me.
What do you use to find penis?
So I'm on all of the apps. I'm on Raya, Tinder.
What is
Hinge,
Raya?
You don't know what Raya is?
No.
Raya is a full-blown nightmare where semi-famous people and Australian DJs have to apply and get referrals from friends.
Yes, I have heard about this. I think I might have heard about it on your podcast.
Probably. I hate it and I talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Are they sponsoring you?
No, they waitlisted me for 2 years.
But you're on it now.
Now she's on it. She pays a pretty penny to stay on it.
Beautiful. Have you had any success on it?
Not on Raya. I went on a date with a person who asked me to read one of their scripts. And I was like, I don't have a production company. Also, I have bad reading comprehension. You don't want this from me.
Was that a first date? I can't do this.
It was the very first date, and it was also the last date.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be the moment where I would be like, absolutely not. Goodbye.
Yes. No, thank you. I will read to you what this person said to me on fucking, what was it? It was maybe Hinge? I don't know. Hold on. Hold your horses. I want to read you something. And I am never fucking prepared. One of these days I will, like, you know, set things up and be like, this is what I'm going to read to you. Okay, so this person messaged me on Tinder and they said, I love you. I thought Trudy Judy was kind of annoying. Do you want to go out? So if you don't, so I played this part of this lady named Trudy Judy on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and this man messaged me to say, thought I was annoying on a TV show, but they love me and they want to take me out. And I was like, is this negging?
Why?
Is this like,
why?
Why do you think I need to know this? Just ask me out on a date. And then in person, actually, don't ever tell me that you don't like something I've done. I don't want it.
No, don't do that. Why?
I think people don't understand that. Like, sure, criticism is a thing. It can happen. You can have thoughts. I don't want to know your thoughts. I did it.
Some people just don't. It sounds like this person just doesn't love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that is the problem when it comes down to that kind of shit. I mean, I'm sure you know, as someone in the public eye, is that when you get that kind of hate, even if they mean it mm-hmm. well, even if they're like, you know, because I've gotten that a lot. Like at DragCon, I had a lot of people come up to me and be like, I really wasn't a fan at the beginning, but you won me over. And I'm like, you know, wait, you can just leave that part to yourself. But the part of them that chooses not to is the part of them that like wants you to know something was wrong with you at some point.
Something was a little fucked up about you, but you fixed it.
Yeah, they want to make that little dig right at you.
Yeah, people love to, yeah, they really do love to be like, I thought you were really annoying on this, but then I watched you on this or listened to that, and honestly, you are pretty funny. And I'm like, okay, sorry that you didn't like everything I put out there, but guess what? Nobody likes all of you either.
Yeah. I personally know that your mother hates you.
Your mother fucking hates you. She's talking about you right now.
She's on the other line.
Okay, Willow, real quick, we gotta take a break. Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah! All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. joindeleteme.com/date me. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. Fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month in Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Bebop, boobop, we're back.
Okay, Willow, you're from Denver? No.
Yes. You're right. Why'd you follow it up with no?
I don't know.
Nicole, you gotta stop doubting yourself.
Listen, I don't have the same confidence I used to have.
I told you my reading comprehension is low, and I'm reading the research I have on you. Okay, so you went to Colorado State University. Is that in Denver?
Is this Wikipedia?
No. I have a lovely new assistant. So my former assistant, bad lady, stole from me. Very, oh, no. Very, very rude. Didn't do anything I asked her to do. I've been talking about her for like the last 5 episodes. I won't let it go. She's petty. But my new one, I love her so much. She does like a little, like, I asked for a 1-pager, but she gives me like 2 or 3 pages of information on people. So like, beautiful. I also have tweets that you've tweeted that we could talk about. I have so much information.
Wow. Okay, yes. Well, let's start with where I'm from. So,
okay.
So I was born in Evansville, Indiana. But okay. I lived there for like 3 weeks. My family immediately moved. They're like, skedaddle. Mm-hmm. To Denver. So I just say I was born and raised in Denver.
A lie, but you know, I'm glad we cleared it up today.
It's less to explain to people. But then the thing is that I always go into the spiel about that afterwards anyway, so it ends up being the same length.
I love that. You're like, for clarity, yeah, and, you know, clarity. Langford, born in Denver. But actually, like, I do that all the time, too, where I'm like, I won't tell you the whole story, but an hour later, I'm like, I'm so sorry I've taken so much of your time.
So, yeah, born and raised in Denver.
And then you went to college in Denver. And then when did you start doing drag?
Okay, so I went to college is in Fort Collins, which is like an hour or two outside of Denver. And
okay.
I had been wanting to drag forever. I'd watched since season one when I was 14 mm-hmm. years old. Tammy Brown really, you know, got me into the trap.
Boy, oh boy, Tammy Race. Brown just bopping around to Destiny's Child. Or no, was that a Michelle Williams song that she got eliminated on?
It was Destiny's Child, I think.
Oh boy, very funny. She was just like bopping and smiling.
Michelle Williams has her own songs.
It's Break the Dawn.
Okay, I'll listen to it after. When Jesus say yes, nobody can say no. I love that song, by the way.
I don't think I know that one.
Oh, you haven't heard that one? She got Beyonce to be on that.
She did?
Yes, Beyonce is on that song.
Yeah, do you like the new Beyonce song?
I love it.
I love it too. People had thoughts and I was like, we should be so lucky she's A, making music. Two, who doesn't love like a house fucking dance bop?
Oh, yeah. She really said, hi, gay, with that song. Yeah. I know there's a lot of, you know, rhetoric around like, you know, Beyonce singing about quitting a 9-to-5 and she's never had to work a 9-to-5.
Well, here's the thing. Quit your 9-to-5 if it's not sustaining you spiritually. Yeah. There's so many other fucking things you could do for money.
There is. You could win Drag Race.
You could win Drag Race. You can start a podcast. You could, I don't know. There's a, like, start an Etsy store. Make tiny furniture. I'll buy it.
Make little soaps.
Yes, teeny tiny soaps. Okay, so you
Where
went
were we,
to...
Though? We got lost Fort, into a Destiny's Child Fort, tangent.
Fort Collins... not Indiana,
yeah, Fort Collins,
Colorado.
Blah, blah, blah. Watched Drag Race. Liked it. Started drag when I was 21. Been doing it for 6 years.
I love it. I love it. Wait, so you were born in... Let's do some math. You started at 21. You've been doing it for 6 years. That's 27. 27 minus the year 2022. You were born in 1947. When were you born?
1995.
I'm terrible at math.
1995, yeah.
1995. Oh my God, you're so fucking young. I'm old. Oh no.
Oh,
that
no.
Didn't feel good.
Well, if it makes you feel better, George is like 14, so...
How old is Georgia? Yeah. She looks young.
I think
young.
She just turned 22.
Oh my God. What yeah. a dream to be so young and supple with good skin.
I know.
Wait, 95. I think I was in fifth grade? I don't know. So you started drag at 21 and you were like, this is what I want to fucking do forever.
Kind of. You know, I almost quit because... I, you know, did one big student showcase at the college that I was at, mm-hmm. and it was, like, thousands of people, because it was, like, a big, like, you know, fundraising event, and I was like, oh my God, it's gonna always be like this, there's always gonna be, like, thousands of people screaming for me mm-hmm. in my fucking hideous makeup and clothes, from Forever 21, plug, sponsor, and then... You know, it's like a couple of years of just doing free gigs and like begging people to be in their show, going mm-hmm. to shows in drag and just like walking around being like, hi, I'm Willow. Can I please perform for you? It was a lot of that. And it was very lonely and long. And there was not many entry level shows in Denver at the time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to really claw my way through. And then eventually... I realized that I didn't have to do just like top 40 and I could make like comedy out of my drag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and Evie helped me when I met her. I was like, oh, she's someone doing something different. She's successful. So why can't I do it? And so I started doing that and became known as like the conceptual comedy kind of theatrical queen of Denver. And then I just started,
I love that.
Started building from there. And eventually I became like the it girl at the time.
Is Evie your drag mother or drag sister?
I consider her my sister.
Okay.
Because we more compete with each other and hang out with each other. She's not really someone that's like passed down years mm-hmm. of secrets to me. You know?
yeah, I like when people find their own lane for shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I was in my early 20s, I was like working at a store called Lame Giant. Other people know it as Lame Bryant. And the girls who worked there would be like, God, Nicole, you're so fucking weird. And I'd be like, okay, maybe one day they'll like me. And then one day they did start to like me and they would dance with me when like my favorite song by the Scissor Sisters came on the CD that repeated three times a day. And it was like, I just.
What Scissor Sister song was it?
I don't feel like dancing.
I don't know if I know that one.
I don't feel like dancing. You know, I don't know melodies. I don't know rhythm. And that wasn't helpful for you. But it's a fun song.
I love Filthy and Gorgeous. That's the one song. Because I'm filthy and gorgeous. Wow, you really don't have rhythm. You were so off.
My best friend Sashir and I play a game all the time where I'm like, what's this song? And I'm like, and she's like, oh, okay, that's Destiny's Child Survivor. And I was like, thank you. And it's like, nobody else around us would ever guess it. But she's just been around me for too long. But yeah, they all thought I was fucking weird. And then one day they were like, weird is okay. And we want to like dance with her. And that's, yeah. So I'm like, just keep being you. And I like that you kept being you and found your lane and was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I think it was the talent show, the bathtub number that you did was so fucking weird and funny and delightful to see on television. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it was so strange and I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I find through my years of wisdom that if you're weird or offering something that people aren't used to, they'll get used to it. You know, they will learn to like it. And usually what's making them not like it at the beginning is just something inside of themselves that's like keeping them from liking it or not being not being in tune with it yet. And then they learn. And that's, you know, that's how you are as a kid. I remember I wouldn't understand a lot of great humor if I didn't, you know, practice listening to comedy and finding the right comedians. You know, you start out at the basics and then you delve into what you really like. And when doing that talent show, it kept me up for weeks.
Really?
Oh, during quarantine, during the quarantine, like in the hotel room, I like had such a difficult time sleeping because I knew the talent show was going to be first. And I was like, what the fuck am I about to do in front of the world? This is going to be viewed by millions of people. And my talent is throwing spaghetti in a bathtub and getting naked. I was like, I'm going to be ridiculed and hated by the masses. And but I just had to remember that, like, you know, even if the people that don't get it at first, they'll get it later. And I feel like half of people loved it and half of people didn't quite understand it. But those half that didn't understand it eventually got it by the end of the show because they became in tune with what I was offering.
Yeah. I think that's like a really good lesson to just like truly just stay true to yourself because people don't know what they want until they want it.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I think about like, you know, the Melissa McCarthy's of the world or like the Issa Rae's of the world who like just kept doing what they do until the world went, ooh, baby, we like that. But boy, oh boy, your brain works in a way that I've never thought of. I have never once done something and went, uh-oh, millions of people are going to see that. I just kind of do things and go, I hope a single person sees that.
So the thing is that I had done something similar for a video that I had released. And that, for that, I was like, oh, I want everyone to see this. But going into Drag Race, you know what the fans are like. And the fans are ruthless.
Cruel. have a lot to say. Want to tear you down.
They will bully the shit out of you until you feel like you're in middle school again. And so that was really what was resonating with me more. And also knowing that being on television, is no longer my little Facebook. It's going to be viewed by my mm-hmm. elementary school teachers. It's going to be viewed by my middle school classmates, by my neighbors, by my mom's church friends. Like, mm-hmm. it's very different when it goes from your little circle that understands your humor to the world of judgment.
Yeah. Again, never think like that. Sometimes my sister will go, oh, this girl I work with is a huge fan of yours. And I'm like, really? How did she figure out we're sisters? She was like, my last name. I was like, ah! And I'm like, sorry, I'm dumb. So has anyone from your past like reached out to be like, Willow, remember me?
Well, you know, I have my messages heavily filtered to only be.
Wait, how? How do you do that?
So like on Instagram, I can only get messages from people that I also follow. I'll get your message in a request bin if I don't follow you.
Oh, okay.
But I rarely go through that, which sucks because it's, you know, I'm like missing out on a lot of, you know, supportive and great messages from people that want mm-hmm. to tell me things. But at the same time, it just keeps my brain more on track because mm-hmm. The influx of messages I've gotten through this season, especially while the season was airing, was like so overwhelming. So mm-hmm. overwhelming. And I did get some from like middle school classmates and a lot of my mom's like old church friends. Which was mm-hmm. so weird because I was like, weren't you homophobic like 2 months ago? Like,
well, I'll tell you something. Fame cures homophobia, yes, racism, and a lot of bad things in the world.
Yes.
It is kind of wild where you're like, oh, you were shitty to me before. Yeah. And now you're fine? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if anyone from my past has crept up to be like, hello, that I didn't like. I don't think so. I think all the people I don't like have stayed the fuck away, which is nice.
I wish I had one of those stories, you know, where it's like, there was some guy that, some jock that bullied me in high school mm-hmm. and he used to lock me in the locker. And then he was like, oh, Will, I want to hang out with you and marry you. And I said, no, sir, even though you're hot. But no, I don't have that story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me either. I wish I did though.
It'd be so cinematic. It would be it's a very main character moment to have.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of main character moments, but I am the main character. I'm like the main character who just isn't in frame all the time, who's never hitting their mark, so they're just half on the screen, half not. It's a very messy movie.
It's like your ponytail creeping out in the corner, and you're like, get out of my laboratory.
I love that. Here's a question. So you were pretty open about your chronic illness, which mm-hmm. I have written down somewhere here. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, she can't pronounce that.
Try.
Anyway.
Try. I don't know
how to pronounce a single thing. There's a lot of letters next to other letters that I'm like, not for me. But have a ton of people with other like chronic illnesses or like autoimmune deficiency or not deficiency. I don't know. You know, things that they deal with. Have they reached out to you? And do you find that overwhelming?
So, yes, I've had an enormous influx of messages, love, meet and greets, whatever it is, from people dealing with chronic illness, disabilities, temporary diseases. It's been so, so much. Mm-hmm. It is a lot. You know, I take it in when and how I can. You know, if I opened myself completely to these people, I would be crying every day mm-hmm. and at every meet and greet. And that's not fair for me to kind of overwhelm myself with all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to give those people their moment and listen to them and, you know, have a genuine moment with them because I know that I have touched the hearts of a lot of people. And I try not to minimize that. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, filter out what I can to protect myself. 'Cause otherwise it's so drowning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that balance is something that I'm still trying to find the right way to approach.
I like that. I sometimes have a hard time putting up boundaries with people, and I'll just let people talk at me until they feel satiated. And then I'll like go back to my hotel room and be like, oh, well, now I don't feel great. And I feel really sad. And
you feel like, you feel kind of like a husk afterwards.
Yeah, because it's a lot to perform and like give yourself that way and then do a meet and greet where you give yourself to somebody a different way. And then they're like, oh, here are all my problems. You helped me through da 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 da. And then I'm like, okay, all right. I don't because I don't have the same thing. Do you know what I mean? Like there isn't anyone that I'm looking up to on television or anything that's like helping me through something.
Same.
And not that I find it weird or anything, but it's like, if you don't perform, then like that's how you go about, you know, I guess identifying with somebody. I don't have that part of my brain where I need that. Do you know what I mean? I just go to therapy.
Yeah. Neither do I, but you know, I remember it there being a time when I did need that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to minimize the importance of it. I mean, like I said, when I was saying earlier that it's taken me a while to realize how proud of myself I am. I don't want to make it seem like it's not a big deal that I won. It is a big deal that I won. It's a big deal that I was even on the show. There are very, very few people in television, movies, and especially reality television that deal with chronic illness and disabilities, especially queer and trans people. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to minimize how that is a big deal. And it's important. And I never had anyone like myself to look up to in this way. I've kind of had to be my own. I've had to be my own hero through my life.
What's that Mariah Carey song?
I can be your hero, baby. No, that's not it.
Oh, wait. I could be my hero, baby. Wait, that's not how that goes. Again, she doesn't know a single song. She never will. No, but I understand what you're saying, that you have to be your own role model, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had to figure out on my own. Of course, I had role models. Jinx was a huge role model for me. Growing up, she really showed me how to bring a humanity and warmth to drag that we hadn't really seen on the show yet. She's honestly one of my biggest idols.
I hope you've opened the door for other gals like you. That sounds insane. What an insane sentence. Yeah. But just like other people. Just other people with like chronic illnesses and whatnot. It's like
girls like us. We go
girls
hard.
Girls like us. You know, I don't know a better way to say that without sounding condescending. Do you know what I mean?
No,
I just hope you've opened a door for casting to be like I'd love to see a queen in a wheelchair or like just a queen who I don't think I'm supposed to say differently abled anymore. I think I just say handicapped now.
Just disabled.
Oh, just disabled.
I think, just disabled.
Oh, okay. Listen, the terms, what did I see? I saw a play. It was called Take Me Out, Go for the Dicks, Stay for the Art. That's what I say. But there's a line in it where this guy calls black people colored. And then the white guy goes, no, they're people of color. And he's like, why does it keep changing? And he's like, I don't know. We just have to trust them. And that made me laugh so hard because I was like, yeah, if people decide that they want to be called something else, we go, yes, okay. Yes. We go, okay, you know better than I. So, okay, disabled. Thank you for helping your sad, silly friend. I just hope it opens the door for more disabled people to be on the show.
Yeah, I hope so. And not even, you know, of course it'd be great if they're on the show, but also just having more conversations. I think one thing I'm very proud of this season is that I was able to talk a lot on the show about not just being like, hi, I have a disability or I have chronic illness, but explaining what it's like to live and work with that. Explaining to people, and this is something that I've been, you know, a little frustrated with over the last few months, is that we hold not only the Drag Race queens to a high standard, but the Drag Race winners to a very high standard, to constantly be pumping out content and giving to the fans. It's like they're never fully satiated. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, kind of have to be like, hey, this is unfair. You cannot, you know, exalt this disabled person and have them be like, you're my winner, and then not also make accommodations for what that's like to live that life. So I'm hoping that I'm opening doors to the conversations around work and energy that disabled people have to deal with. I mean, I can't work a full, you know, full-time job. That's too much energy for me. I can't even work most jobs. I can't really serve anymore. I served food for 10 years, and now my hands can't really do that. And I don't know what I'm, you know, this is a long tangent, but it's like.
No, but it's an interesting tangent.
Yeah, we have to re-look and reimagine what work looks like for disabled people and chronically ill people, because it's not fair to say, oh, well, you know, to have a home and water and food and health, you have to work the same as everyone else. Mm-hmm. And we can't make exceptions. Like, no, you can make an exception.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And you absolutely can ask somebody what they're capable of. Yeah. And if they're capable of less than what you expect, that doesn't make them lesser of a person. Even non-chronically ill people.
Yes, everyone.
I was just having this conversation with somebody where I was like, I wish there was a world where you could look at your boss and go, I need a 2-day break, a 2-day paid break, because you don't need me these 2 days, technically. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little on edge and I just need the days, as opposed to like, you have 10 vacation days and you can use them as mental health days if you want, but that eats into your vacation. So it's like when you do take a vacation, you're then like bugging out because you're just like, oh, maybe I'm not getting paid. I don't know. I just think that we could work better. Like, I cut down a little bit on my workload and I feel healthier. Like, I feel better.
You feel better. And we should be working less. We should not be working this much. There's no need.
I agree.
There really is no fucking need. Marketing? What the fuck do we need that for? Like, what the fuck is the point? There is so many. I think if COVID, you know, gave us many lessons, but one of the lessons it gave us is that we do not need to be working that much.
Yeah, and we don't need to be working in person as much. No. I don't know how before the pandemic, I recorded every single podcast episode I ever did in person, along with traveling, touring, working on sets, writing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just, I don't know. I guess I was just never home. And I like being home. There's a bed here. There's air conditioning. My dog is here. It's nice.
They've really tricked us. They really tricked us into thinking that you have to be constantly working and that you are only worth how much you work.
Yes.
What that says to someone who can't work or is not able to is that you are worthless. Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking about making a message to the public, but it's difficult sometimes when I see comments or hear people being like, oh, well, she talks too much about her illness, or she seems tired or exhausted. I've seen a lot of that since I've been on the road touring. Or she seems, you know, she's not giving the energy she should as a winner. It's like, what, I know you don't mean it in that way, but to me, it computes as like, oh, well, she's worthless because she's not working hard because she can't. And it gets into your brain in a very detrimental way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're listening, don't be that person.
Yeah.
Let people fucking be.
Yes. Like,
let people be.
Let people be. Honestly, I think it should be illegal to have any comments on social media besides, you look pretty. That was nice. Good job. Yeah. Like, telling someone they look tired is not kind. It's really, because it's like, I might be exhausted, but I don't need you to look at me and tell me that I'm tired. I already fucking know.
Yeah.
Like, just be nice.
Yes. I don't know why it's so difficult.
I don't know why either.
I can literally confidently say, with like 99% confidence, I have never made a bad comment to someone online. on any social media, unless they're like problematic and fucked up.
I can say 100% sure that I have never said anything but like a fire emoji or you go girl.
No, like you're no all that and a bag of chips. Now have I thought bad thoughts about people? Absolutely.
Of course.
100%.
They're called indoor thoughts. Keep them inside your soul. You don't tell people. You talk about them behind their back like any other good, normal fucking
exactly.
person.
Exactly. And that goes out. You know, fans, if you're listening, you can talk behind my back all the fuck you want. But I don't want to see you in my comments.
Don't want to. Okay, we have to take one more break.
Beautiful.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And, like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateme. And we back. Okay, so you and Cornbread put out a single called Angle.
Yes, Angel. It's pronounced Angel, but it's spelled Angle.
Oh my God, I'm stupid.
It's confusing. No, you're not stupid.
No, it's not confusing. I'm just a big fucking dumb fatty. I love Cornbread. And I love your friendship. Like, it's just so, she's got a huge tattoo of you now, right?
Oh yeah, right on her thigh.
I love that. That's sweet. That's not going to wash off.
It is not going to wash off. It is very large, very colorful, and it's beautiful.
So how did that friendship blossom? It was obviously on the show, and then and then after the show, you guys continued being besties?
Yeah, so when I, before Drag Race, you hear, little whispers of who might be on, and I had heard that there was a chance that she might be on, and I'd been a little bit of a fan for a while. I'd known who she was. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to meet her. And then when we met, she was such a big personality. Mm-hmm. And I'm very quiet. So it's not that we didn't mesh or anything. It's just I was like, oh, I don't think we're really going to like be besties. And it was after that, literally right after the talent show, we were on, those golf carts that you see in Untucked when they're like driving back and forth from set to set. And I got on the golf cart with her. And she told me, she was like, Willow, I didn't get you, but now I do. And that just meant so much to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I thought that the talent show didn't go very well because I couldn't hear the judges laughing when I was in the tub. And I remember hearing her say that and being like, oh, my God, even though I might go home tonight, that meant the world to me. And then our friendship kind of developed through the show. And then this one day, right the day before she left, we were left alone in the green room preparing for our interviews. And we had like a 3-hour conversation, which is rare, very rare on Drag Race. They don't, they want everything to be on camera. So you don't get a lot of alone time. And we just shot the shit for like 3 hours about how fucked up both of us were. sharing things that we cannot say on any podcast or really in any room without, without you know, a mental health expert coming and locking us up. And it was just so great. I felt that for the first time in the competition, I was like, I have a friend here who really knows me and will protect me. And I don't have to worry about them playing any mind games with me. And then the next day she was gone because of the ankle thing. And that's why when you see me on TV, I'm like sobbing because I was like, the one lifeline that I had is now gone. And I have to put up with the rest of these girls. Thankfully, I ended up loving the other girls and making friends.
That's truly devastating because when you make a friend, I know when I make a friend where I'm like, oh boy, I love this person. If they were like suddenly ripped away from me and I was like in a high pressure situation, I'd be like, oh no. What do I do now? I sleep forever? What happens?
And they're ripped away from you in a way that's not like, oh, you have to say goodbye now. It's like you get a video camera in front of RuPaul that's like, bye. And then they're like, all right, now do this mini challenge where you're pretending to fuck the pit crew. And you're like sobbing, like smashing balloons between your groins. Just like, I miss Cornbread. It's just, it was very upsetting to me.
I'm so sorry, but you'll always have that memory of being very sad, you know, air thrusting into a very sexy person.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought about it. Remember when I was like, I don't think I've ever looked up to anyone. I look up to the minions. I think they're so funny. They only say banana, but they convey so much. I was like really racking my brain. I was like, surely I look up to someone.
Oh my God.
I was like, those little yellow idiots in their overalls. I love them.
You know, that's a good group of people to look up to because they really represent everyone. They have no, they are everything. They are no specific race. They are no specific gender. They just are. And so, you know, I think that that's an amazing profile.
I love it. They really just are. They don't have a gender. I mean, I think they have male-leaning names, but, like, I don't know. I don't think I'd call the minions males.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I think I look forward to their TED Talk.
Okay, I have a question about a tweet that you tweeted. You tweeted that you wanted Moses from the animated movie The Prince of Egypt to part your ass cheeks. In your opinion, is that the hottest animated character? Or is there another?
Oh, there's a few. He was definitely one of the first. I grew up very, very Christian. You know, my dad was a pastor and I went to private Christian school. So, you know, when it was movie time, you know, in elementary school and they don't know what else to do, they're like, here, here's a movie. you know, the VHS was often Prince of Egypt. And, you know, not really having any male sexualized male characters around me at the time, you know, this was a, you know, shortly post 9/11 world. Moses was there and he was ripped and he had that like luscious brown hair. And there's that scene where they like, he's like naked and they like throw the water on him. And oh my God, he was just so fucking hot. I would absolutely fuck the hell out of that Moses cartoon.
Same. I'm looking at a picture of this Moses cartoon and I'm like, oh my word.
Very sexy.
I loved Aladdin and I loved Adult Simba. Adult Simba did it for me.
See, Aladdin couldn't do it for me because, you know, he's cute, but it's like in Prince of Egypt, they had him like naked with camels and water. It was so much sexual.
Was nudity.
Yeah, and he was like covered in sand and like dirty. It was, you know, Aladdin, they didn't really go there.
They didn't go there for you.
I also loved when Shrek turns into his human form in Shrek 2. And I think there's like a scene that he's like naked in. And they like, the milkmaids are like, and they like throw him a towel and he's like, ugh. You know, it's just because, you know, they know what they're doing when they make these movies and they like allude, they're like alluding to them being like, oh, they've got genitals.
I now have to rewatch The Prince of Egypt and Shrek 2. And I'm very excited to do both.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, Willow, we have come to the end.
Already?
Yeah, I know. It's been an hour.
Oh, it's been an hour? Oh, my God.
We've just been gabbing.
Gibbling and gabbling.
Also, I didn't ask any good questions. I like you were just like, I grew up in the church. You said your dad was, he was what?
He was a pastor.
This wasn't in my, was it? Did I just not read my research good? Anyway, we should end, but I do want to know what it was like to grow up in a Christian home.
Okay, so it was, you know, Christianity on every end. It was up the ass, down the throat. It was, you know, Christian school, church, youth group, at home, in the neighborhood, everywhere I went. And, you know, I was kind of like the star of it all. Ooh. Like, because in school, it was a very small school. And it's like my dad was the pastor and my mom was like the worship team singing leader. And I was the sick kid that like needed special attention. So I was really, it was really main. And everyone like knew that I was probably like a very feminine and very loving, the teacher's favorites in every class. So it was very main character energy.
It feels very like a Walk to Remember, like... Was she the daughter of a pastor?
I think she was.
And she was like in the plays and everybody liked her. Am I remembering this movie correctly?
I don't know.
It seems like a fun movie that I would watch, like a young adult movie.
It is. It is it's absolutely a script. I was talking to my roommate the other day and I was like, I've lived so many lives that I could totally just hire a ghostwriter and write a memoir at the age of 27.
I mean, why not just do it? I would read it.
Eventually. I mean, I went through, the whole stuff with the church and growing up queer and then growing up ill. And then my dad died when I was young. And then coming
out. Wait, how old were you when that happened?
I was 11.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
That sucks. I was 16 when my mom died. And
I'm sorry.
11 is, that's wild.
It was very wild. I mean, very traumatic to have that happen at such a young age. And then almost like 2 years after, I was going into dialysis for kidney failure.
Oh, my God.
So really, this is just a whole Fault in Our Stars movie.
That's a better movie. Yes.
And I want them to cast me because I'm selfish and I love attention. I'm like, I'll be playing myself. I'll also be directing and writing.
I love that. You could be your own Taika Waititi. I feel like he writes and directs and acts in his things. Do it.
But growing up in that way, you know, something that I've realized over the years is it makes you, it's like no wonder I'm kind of a narcissist. Is because when there's all of this tragedy and attention surrounding your life, you start to think that the world revolves around you because there's so much happening to you. And so many people are telling you like, oh my gosh, you've just, you know, you've been through all this. And then suddenly you're on a TV show that's about you. And then you win that TV show. And I think what I really need right now is someone to come in and humble me.
No.
Maybe not. Maybe you're right. No.
I don't want it. I don't know. I think you're fabulous. I don't think you need to be humbled. I think very few people need to be humbled. Unless you're like hurting people. I think being a little narcissistic is okay. I think. I don't know. Somebody in the comments will tell me that that's not okay and it's detrimental and they'll the research.
We'll have a comment that says kill yourself and I'll be like, okay, that was good. Thank you. That was the dose of humbling I needed. Yeah, I mean, the good thing is if I do need any humbling, I can just...
Yeah, just go through the comments. You'll be like,
Reddit. Go to Reddit. And I'll be like, took me down a step.
Reddit is so mean. A lot of gentlemen on Reddit like to go, you're single because you're fat. And I'm like, I don't think so. Because there's a lot of fat people who like are in relationships. So like, I don't think that's that. Oh my God, this person, speaking of like comments, we do have to go, but I'm having a nice time.
Me too.
This person wrote this long, long, long comment on my... my Instagram. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, so I made a joke about Elon Musk, whose name I never say right, the Tesla man, how he's African-American because he's from South Africa and that you're supporting a black business when you buy a Tesla. So and this person didn't like that joke. They said, Nicole, God, you're cool, but I can't rock with these ignorant statements. I know you're trying to be funny and all, but nah. You ask the question, why won't you date me? Well, poor attempts at humor like that. Or why a brother won't. I hear you're into white guys, but I don't believe it. Even though you're fly. I've seen Sashir live before. She's
even
great.
Though you're fly.
These statements have shaken my head. Just be careful of what you say. You can't be on a dope black show like Grand Crew and talk about sucking white guys' dicks and all these white guys are so fine, etc. And not even mention brothers. I hear Sashir has a man. I hope he's black, but I digress. I'm not tripping. I'm just standing that love brothers feel when it comes to you. And I was like, there's a lot of issues coming at me in this one Instagram post.
That is a very loaded statement.
I think they may have seen... So on Girl Code, I said I like my men sick, pale, and close to death. Again, a joke. It's a joke that I like fat white guys. It's a joke. And then in my special, I say I like to suck... white dudes' dicks because I want their ancestors to cry. And I'm like, I don't get how you don't get the back end of the joke. It's a joke.
Mm-hmm. It's a joke.
And then I was like, I don't think Elon Musk is black. It's just a joke. I don't know. Comments on Instagram. I guess I should just really stop reading them. But that one took me out. I was like, is this humbling? What's happening? Are you confused? Sir, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I don't know, Willow. I could talk to you for forever, but I do have to wrap it up
because I have to
watch something for another podcast.
You know, we'll do, I'm, you know, in LA often and I'll come and we'll go to get afternoon tea somewhere.
I would love that very much, Willow. I ask... almost all my guests this. I went a month where I didn't because, I don't know, I was going through it. And I was like, I'm going to change things about the podcast. And then I was like, why? Okay, Willow, would you date me?
1,000% I would date you. You're so fun to talk to. You know, I've been on a lot of first dates in the last month or so. I don't know why. I think I just hate myself. and they've all been very sweet. Mm-hmm. But they're often just so boring. And
wait, you've been on a lot of first dates. Again, it's a dating podcast, and I should have asked you about that. So wait, how many first dates have you been on in the last month?
Maybe like 4 or 5.
Wow. Yeah. She's really dating. That's a lot of first dates.
It's fun. I mean, I like first dates. I think they're fun. And, you know, I've still kept up with some of them and chit-chat every once in a while. But I find... I don't know if you can maybe relate to this, being on a show like Drag Race, especially mm-hmm. when it's so popular in the queer community, is like intimidating to a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean to be like, oh, I'm so intimidating, but it's just like, I can tell that they're a little bit like hesitant to say anything at all. And then it just comes off as like boring. And you know, they've all been very sweet, but I need someone now to kind of just have confidence and mm-hmm. be like, all right, let's go. Let's have fun. I don't give a shit that you're famous. I don't give a shit that you're talented. Let's roll and be partners in crime. And that's what I need. Do you find that?
That's also what I'm looking for. Absolutely. I do feel like that sometimes I go out with people and they feel like just like a little reserved. Or like they're expecting me to be something that I might not necessarily be in just living life.
Yes.
Yeah, because I've dated people who are like, wow, you're more low key in life. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm in my kitchen. Like, there's no audience here except for the expired food in my refrigerator.
Yeah, because I'm not in front of RuPaul being told to do an improv about Santa Claus.
Wait, Willow, have you been in like a relationship, like a long-term relationship at all?
No, I haven't.
Me either.
I've dated people. Like I've, you know, been on little 2 or 3 month stints mm-hmm. with people. But I've never been like, will you be my partner? Will you be my boyfriend? You know, whatever it is. So right now I've been like talking to this guy right now for a while. He lives in the UK though. Mm. Which is funny because when I went to London with my assistant, we were both like, oh, what if we fall in love in London? And then we both, I mean, I didn't fall in love, but we both did find people that we like kind of got swept up by. And so that's the only thing I have going on right now is I'm just like chatting with this guy in London.
Import them. Apparently imported people are better. I don't know. My friend Michelle Bito, she's always like, go to Amsterdam and get somebody.
Can you call someone imported?
I think so. Imported goods.
No, but it's lovely. I don't know where, you know, if or when it'll go anywhere. But yeah, for the time being, it's nice. And then, you know, nothing's really happening in the U.S. here, so.
I mean, maybe I should leave the country and find somebody. Okay, now we have to end because now we're... I could literally talk to you all day, but I have to do other shit. Okay, Willow, I'm going to give you my number after we get off of this because when you're in LA, I do want to hang out. I think you're delightful and wonderful.
And I know you're such good friends with Meatball, and I fucking love Meatball.
Meatball is one of my favorite fucking people. I asked her to do a show, Family Feud. We lost by 500 points. It was just like Comedy Family Feud. We lost. One of the really questions was, what do you lie about on your resume? And Meatball goes, special skills. And I was like, no, these are real people, not actors. And then the guy was like, Jaquise, who was hosting it, was like, well, be more specific with special skills. I was like, people lie about special skills. And then Meatball goes, horseback riding. And I was like, who? And obviously that was not on the board. I love Meatball so much. She makes me laugh so hard. People confuse us, which is wild to me because we are two different colors.
Wait.
We are
you get
two
confused
very...
for Meatball?
Yes. And people have used my image of me in Trixie drag. Trixie and Mo Hart put me in drag.
I remember that.
And they have used that picture for like promoting Meatball at a show. And it's happened, I think, two or three times now. It's wild. But yeah, come hang out with us in LA.
I will. I'll come hang out and it'll be an amazing time. I can't wait.
Do you have anything that you want to promote?
No. I mean, if you haven't already seen or listened to Angel featuring Cornbread, the snack jeté, then please do that all over YouTube, Spotify, other listening platforms. But other than that, I'm taking a break.
You are? Okay, great. Yeah. Do you have like a website for when you do start touring again?
Willowpill.com. You can find my merch, my touring schedule. Yeah, all that jazz. Willowpill.com.
Get that fucking merch. And if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, rate it, subscribe or whatever. Give me 5 stars. And if you write me something dirty at whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com hitting on me, I will read it aloud. This person said, hey, Nicole, heard the dirty messages are running low, so I'm coming at you with a doozy. I want to have a movie night with you where we eat salt and vinegar, ew, chips. And when we finish the chips, ew, I'll finger you with my salt and vinegar finger. You will climax uncontrollably as the vinegar tingles your labia, and then we will have anal as your vagina will be occupied filling the room with the smell of vinegary queefs. And after we're done, you will make us toast with your truffle butter, and I will wipe my dick on all the candles in your house, so when you light them to mask the queef smell, your house will smell like me, tea.
Wow.
Love from the UK. Okay, so I have to go to the UK.
Yeah,
that's where these fucking freaks are. I loved that one.
That was a really good one. Whoever wrote that, that was poetry.
This is from Joshua. They wrote their name. So Joshua, thank you so much. That truly made my day.
Oh my God, the salty queefs.
Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream. Ha ha ha.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.